It's Fuller time. I'm Abe Beeson. Pianist Larry Fuller is back in the KNKX studios today, celebrating the release of his new album, Overjoyed. He got some of his earliest work as a barely teenaged pianist in Toledo, mentored by big band great Candy Johnson. In his 20s, Fuller moved to Seattle, worked for 6 years with the great Ernestine Anderson, and then he joined drummer Jeff Hamilton's trio, which is how he met up with the legendary bass player Ray Brown. Fuller was the last pianist in Brown's trio, then worked for almost a decade with the John Pizzarelli Band, and more recently, Larry Fuller's embraced the role of band leader. Self-titled album 5 years ago was hailed by critics and all of us here at KNKX, and Fuller's just released a new trio album, Overjoyed. As you can tell by the greats that have hired him, Larry Fuller can play the piano. His style is swinging, sophisticated, and as the title of the new album suggests, full of joy. We are overjoyed to welcome Mr. Fuller with George Delancey and Jason Tiemann at the bass and drums. Larry, it's great to have you back.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
It's my pleasure, and let's not bury the lead. Let's go straight to the new record, Overjoyed. 5 years in the making, or at least 5 years since your previous album. How much of the record was in the can waiting to be released? Tell me about how the record came together.
Well, I've been playing with Lewis Nash off and on over the years, and we had a kind of an agreement to try to get together and record, and Hassan Shakur is a friend of mine who was on my last record, and he's a real disciple of, Ray Brown. He's really out of that school of playing the bass, and I had the great opportunity to play with Ray. So, but the material was actually kind of just songs that I had been playing with these guys, actually, and I hope to record with this trio on my next recording, because we've had the great opportunity to play together, and it's getting tougher and tougher to do that, to travel and so forth with a band. But I've been very happy to play with these guys, and the music kind of is growing and going different places, so that's fun.
Yeah, we'll mention more about this trio in a little bit, a couple minutes. But back to the record, and it seems like these are days when records are valued less. You can just go online and stream them, and a lot of kids don't feel like it's worth spending any money for a record, unlike me, who's still collecting pieces of vinyl to put in my house.
Right.
But I wonder how you value the creation of a CD, of an album. What does it mean to you?
I think it's just really a way to document your playing through as an artist throughout your career. You know, it's not so much about, you know, you're going to make a bunch of money off of sales or whatnot, but it's also, it keeps you top of mind and current with, your fan base, and it's nice to, put out some new material. So I think it's a tool to kind of really generate activity in your career and to keep momentum going, I think.
He made the record for you, listening audience. So go out and buy one, why don't you? There's some really fun songs, a lot of standards and a couple of originals. I want to talk about the last song you played, Jane's Theme, for your wife. And I imagine there must have been a lot of pressure. Don't write a bad song when it comes to after your wife.
Yeah, exactly.
What does Jane think of the two?
I think she likes it. I don't think she would tell me otherwise if she didn't. But I'm very fortunate. You know, Jane is my partner, but she's my manager, and she's just really a great business person, and she just helps me so much with my career. Yeah,
it seems like it seems like Jane, the song. It's pretty, but it's also really complicated, and it's really moving.
Yeah,
it's kind of all the elements there.
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
And the first song you played, Lined with a Groove, written by your old buddy Ray Brown. Do you remember playing that song with him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to play that tune with Ray. You know, it's a real, like, a quintessential Ray Brown type tune, you know, funky and swinging. And there's a lot of different versions of that. You know, there was the version he did with the big band, and then a different version I think he played with maybe the trio Triple Treat that he had with, and then his piano trio. So each one is a little different. Those rhythmical figures are different on each version.
And what did you want to do with your version? What were you after with your take on Lined with a Groove?
Kind of not really to overarrange it, but just to try to capture that essence of swinging and playing the blues, you know.
Right.
Ray always did, yeah.
Another original on the album is The Mooch. People should not think this is the Duke Ellington tune that has an E on the end. It's a great song.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about how this one came together.
That's written for a good friend of mine who, he was like the patriarch of our family. He was a mini dachshund. And he used to sit for hours on end while I would practice. And he just had this real comical disposition like most mini dachshunds have, I guess. But his name was Miles. He was my wife Jane's brother's dog, but we would often in New York City visit him for extended stays with us. Yeah. And his name was Miles, but I didn't want to confuse it with Miles Davis, so I always called him the Mooch because he was always begging. You know, I was Mr. Softy. You know, the minute I went into the kitchen, I was the most likely candidate to beg something from.
The title song I thought was interesting. Overjoyed is the album, and that's also the name of the Stevie Wonder song that you play on there. Yes. I'm a huge Stevie Wonder fan. I don't think I had heard a jazz version of Overjoyed. It's beautiful song, and it really lends itself to jazz, don't you think?
Yeah, it's got a nice harmonic progression, so it's easy as a jazz musician to kind of have something to work with, I guess, you know, in terms of just a structure of a song. Some pop songs don't really lend themselves to that for me, but that's a beautiful melody and a beautiful song. So
was there something about it that that told you this is what I need to name the album to, or was, because it does seem like it's also kind of the overarching feeling of the record?
I kind of thought, you know, what do you really, it's always a kind of a process of deciding what do you want to recall, what do you want to entitle the record, and you know, sometimes it's often common that you would name one of the pieces the title
after
the
one
title
of the songs, yeah.
But then I just got to thinking, you know, I try to bring joy when I play music, and I try to connect with people and hopefully uplift people with my music. I'm not really trying to be the most, you know, cerebral player, or I just try to swing and bring a good feeling to people. So it seemed like a good title for what I try to do.
This is really a wonderful trio, Larry. It feels more almost like an extension of your piano. I think that comes from years of working together, yeah?
Well, yeah, and these guys are such terrific players. You know, they've got you know, recordings of their own, and they're very active on the scene in New York. And like I said, I'm very happy to and fortunate to have them work with me. So the more you play together, the more the music kind of evolves.
Now, as Larry Fuller has spent a lot of his career as a sideman, I'm really interested to talk to these two so-called sidemen as to Larry's abilities as a band leader. George Delancey on the bass. Tell us about working with Larry Fuller and his trio and playing his music.
Number one, you couldn't ask for a nicer guy. Yep. He and his wife, Jane, are the nicest people you'd ever meet, and they do a wonderful job of handling business.
As Larry gets out his checkbook.
we're well taken care of. You know, they work very hard to do that. And he, like you said about us extending the sound of the piano, he has such a brilliant sound on the piano, and it's this really the center of the trio, and it's a lot of fun to kind of, you know, fit into that sound. And he also is great at putting together sets. He's very thoughtful about having a nice variety of different grooves and tunes that we can play. Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to play.
And Jason Tiemann, the wonderful drumming here today. Talk about working with Larry Fuller.
Well, I mean, it's pretty much an extension of everything that George just said. You know, for me, and I would say working with a lot of other great band leaders over the years. Larry is exceptionally good at architecture of his sets. He's good at reading a room and knowing, you know, what kind of tunes that are going to be received and where to go from there. But I think probably the biggest thing for me is the infectious groove and the feeling of swing that he brings that is easy for me and George to just kind of slip into the fold with, you know.
Yeah. For a guy who's worked with some terrific rhythm players, Larry's got a lot of rhythm.
Right.
Building on that, Larry, you last time we were here, we talked about what you had learned from working with those folks. One of the things you were talking about is the entertainment value. Do you feel like you've got an act when you get on stage? It's like, this is how a Larry Fuller set goes.
Yeah, I mean, I try not to, you know, dummy down the music, but right. I think that you can play great music and also have it be accessible to an audience, you know. And to hear George and Jason say that they feel like I do a good job putting together a presentation of music is really a great compliment to me, because I definitely strive to do that, and it's something that I learned from the band leaders I played with, you know, and especially Ray Brown. You know, he would put such a great variety of music together, and he played at such a high level, but there was still that connection to an audience, you know, that the music was still accessible, I think, and had entertainment value.
Yeah,
because
right
of that.
You got your start as a young teenager, 13, 14 years old, working with Candy Johnson. I wonder, just coming back from Jazzport Townsend and the big jazz camp out there, education is kind of on my mind, and I wonder if you've had opportunities to do like Candy and help out young students and get their start going and encourage them.
Yeah, I mean, I love when I have the opportunity to do that, you know. I really didn't come from an academic background. I always say I'm kind of the age group that I think we were the last maybe generation that where you could still kind of learn to play on the streets, so to speak. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't go to a music program, but you know, everything has changed so much that there's really not the opportunity to do that, I think, for young musicians now. But these guys are both really
they're
better educators than myself. Wow. But Jason has been doing the Jamie Abersol workshops and camps for years, in addition to teaching at different schools, and George is a great clinician too. So it's fun, you know, when we get the opportunity to do it.
Right on. Speaking of kind of that jazz tradition of learning from other players, jazz tradition has kind of been your career. It's working in that great piano trio tradition, kicked off by Nat King Cole back in the 30s and 40s, even that trio sound. And I wonder if there's anything in modern music, post rock and roll, the hip hop, electronica, modern soul thing. Is there any modern music that you feel is interesting, or are you pretty locked into the classic sounds of the piano trio?
Well, I am locked into that, and I feel like that's my identity, and and my history as a player is kind of in that tradition, and I, you know, try to, I guess, kind of keep that kind of style alive when I play. But yeah, I love all kinds of music, and I think, you know, maybe not so much, you know, a comment on what is modern, but I'm just impressed at the level and amount of great musicians that are always coming on the scene, you know. There's just so many great young pianists that I admire what they do, you know. Like Gerald Clayton, you know, he's a modern concept that he has, but there's just so many terrific young players that I try to listen to all of them, but there's just so many that it's hard to keep up with all of it.
It's exciting time to see all these wonderful young players come up. I really feel like jazz is on the cusp of another resurgence in popularity, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it's the manifestation also of just the all the education programs, you know. The music is so there's so many colleges that have great music departments, and jazz education is so prevalent that now, and it's been that way for so long that now a lot of these musicians are, you know, middle-aged adults and contributing to the music, and it's just remarkable the level of musicianship at such a young age now.
Yeah, it's a wonderful time to be a jazz fan. I hope everyone will understand their responsibility in this circle of jazz life and get out there and support artists and see them live, buy their records. It's the least we can do. And clap hard. The record Overjoyed, you're playing, is so joyful throughout. And I wonder, when you're playing in concert, songs that you've played before, if you're feeling that emotion while you're playing, or is it something that is only really in the creative process? And when you're on stage, it's more of a technical, I got to play these notes right and swing with these two guys.
No, I mean, I always try to you know, get into that joyous spirit when I play. And I think it's part of the tradition of what I was influenced and inspired by, you know, that whole piano tradition of players like Oscar Peterson and, you know, Gene Harris or Monty Alexander and all those guys that Ray Brown played with, you know. Yeah, and these guys make it easy to sort of get into that vibe because they, you know, have such an infectious beat to play with.
Really cool trio, really cool record. It's Overjoyed, Larry Fuller Trio with George Delancey, Jason Tiemann. And this is so much fun, Larry. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. Thanks also to the members of our leadership circle in our audience today. Your generous contributions and the support of all the KNKX listeners make these performances possible. You can connect to our massive studio session archives at knkx.org. Thanks also to our studio session sponsors, the Shack Art Center. Big thanks to John Kessler for his audio production. And be sure to come on back and listen to more, knkx.org.